1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're back with us. I'm joined in the studio now by our good friend, theater critic J. Wynn Russick. Good to see you.
Good morning, Tom.
So you have been down to the Hippodrome Theater. Their show is currently Motown the Musical. It's there through the weekend. A whole bunch of shows in recent years about pop musicians. The Four Seasons were featured in that show, Jersey Boys. That was a big hit. Beautiful. It's about Carole King. Got all of that wonderful Carole King music. That's actually coming to the Hippodrome next season.
Right.
It's been a big hit on Broadway. How about Motown the Musical? Is it in that mold?
Yes, it definitely is in that mold. It's another musical biography. Actually, it's based on the autobiography of Berry Gordy, who founded Motown. He wrote his autobiography back in 1994 and then adapted it into this stage show. Berry Gordy's life has had its share of conflict. Some of the people that he made into stars left Motown and they signed with other labels and there were lawsuits. But there's not a lot of rising and falling action or character development, frankly, in this show. It is structured almost painstakingly as a chronology. It's presented as a flashback. It starts and ends with a TV special for Motown's 25th anniversary, and Berry Gordy is refusing to attend this. And then at one point he says, "My dream started long before," and you know the next scene is going to take you back to his youth, and it does. It's kind of corny. And after that, it's just sort of and then from his childhood in Detroit in the 30s all the way up to the reunion concert in 1983.
All right, so obviously a show called Motown the Musical has a score of Motown hits. There are plenty to choose from. Is it in fact, you know, sort of a hit parade of all the great songs from the Motown era?
It is in a lot of respects. The program, Tom, lists almost 60 songs, including a lot of Motown classics. But most of these are just snippets. We very rarely hear an entire song sung all the way through, which is really a shame. One of the scenes that the audience reacted most strongly to on opening night was Diana Ross's Reach Out and Touch, which was performed in the context of launching her solo career in Las Vegas. She even has two audience members sing with her. And there also are a couple more traditional new musical theater songs written for the show by Berry Gordy and Michael Lovesmith, and they help move the plot along a little. But for the most part, the style of those songs don't fit the Motown genre. I have to say, though, that Chester Gregory, who plays Berry Gordy, is just terrific. And one of the new numbers is an 11 o'clock solo for him called Can I Close the Door? And he really delivers the goods. But that number ends up being sung front and center on a bare stage, concert style.
Well, of course, you know, Motown has so many great stars, some of whom are still performing. I mean, you mentioned Diana Ross. We're all familiar with these folks. And if they are, in fact, still performing, it's got to be pretty tricky playing somebody who's out there still on the concert. I interviewed for In the Bromo, the fellow who's playing Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yes. He's very good.
Yeah, it's tough to play a legend like that. And it might even be tougher to play somebody maybe like Stevie Wonder or somebody who plays him.
Oh, yes.
Because he's still out singing.
Exactly.
As well as he's ever sung. How does this touring cast do with that very tall?
Well, Jaron Muse, who plays Marvin Gaye, was in the show on Broadway, and a number of these cast members were because the show closed on Broadway in January. It's actually going to reopen there for a limited run this summer. But so they have that kind of credential. Jesse Nager, who plays Gordy's close friend Smokey Robinson, played one of the Temptations on Broadway. But the real standout is a 12-year-old boy named J.J. Batiste, and he is one of two boys who alternate as Michael Jackson. And I have to tell you, he brought down the house in a medley of Jackson 5 hits, ABC and I Want You Back, The Love You Save. I think the audience would have been happy to hear the Jackson 5 do the whole show. I mean, I would have. In terms of Diana Ross, a lot of this show focuses on her. Berry Gordy had a really long relationship with her, and we found out in recent years that her oldest daughter is his daughter. That didn't come out for a while. But considering that there's already a famous musical loosely based on the Supremes, this just leads to comparisons. And in terms of drama, Motown the Musical cannot compete with Dreamgirls. The Supremes we hear at the Hippodrome, I have to add, do have the right sound and the right look. And Allison Semmes, who plays Diana Ross, also a veteran of the Broadway cast, though she played another one of the Supremes, she has that high, breathy voice. And I brought the show's rendition of one of the Supremes' most famous songs. So see how you think it compares.
Stop in the name of love, before you stop.
All right, Stop in the Name of Love, one of the great hooks of all time, Before You Break My Heart. It's from the touring production of Motown the Musical. So again, along with this signature sound, Motown singers had signature moves and style. I can see the Supremes in my mind eye, you know, with the hands up, Stop in the Name of Love. How about the choreography and the costumes in this show?
The women's costumes, especially for the Supremes, are just magnificent. When they play the Hollywood Palace, they wear these black sequin gowns that have gold and blue swirls. They're just gorgeous. The costumes are by Isosa. And the guy groups are especially smooth. The Temptations, the Four Tops, the Contours, they wear those slick matching suits and tuxedos, and they have those synchronized moves. The choreography is by Patricia Wilcox and Warren Adams, and they get it right.
All right, so this is Motown the Musical. It's their rendition of that great hit by the Contours called Do You Love Me? You sound a little bit divided about this show. I mean, do you love it? Where does it fall on your hit parade?
Actually, Tom, it's a pretty divided show. It can't decide if it's a concert or a more traditional, granted, biographical musical. Or to put it another way, the bio sort of serves as a framework for a Motown review. I grew up listening to a Detroit radio station that specialized in Motown. That was the soundtrack of my youth. I love this music. But I found the show frustrating. I would have rather heard fewer songs, but more of each. And as traditional musical theater, it's disappointing. Clearly, the show works for some Motown fans, but for me, Tom, it wasn't quite signed, sealed, delivered.
All right, fair enough. But like you, I mean, I grew up for part of my pathetic childhood in Detroit and heard this. I mean, this is the music I grew up on when I was a little kid.
It's great
right
music.
In the Motor City. So, all right, whether it's a good musical or not, we owe an awful lot to Mr. Gordy and Motown.
Definitely.
Right. Judy Russick, always good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Motown the Musical is at the Hippodrome Theater through Sunday. Theater critic Jaywin Russick will be back next week with her review of Hamlet at the Cohesion Theater Company. That's it for us today. Nathan Sterner is our director and engineer. Maryland Morning is produced by Rob Sivak and Kathleen Cahill. And today we are pleased to welcome to the team Bridget Armstrong. Bridget comes to us after working at Sirius XM Radio, as well as Tell Me More with Michelle Martin at NPR. And we are delighted that she has alighted with us. Our intern is Lauren Ferguson. Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville provides coffee for our guests. You can find them online, zekescoffee.com. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Before we go today, we mourn the passing of one of Baltimore's most versatile and elegant journalists. Carl Schottler died about 3 weeks ago after a long illness. Friends and colleagues will gather at Viva House in Baltimore to remember him tomorrow. Carl joined the Baltimore Evening Sun in 1959, and he covered everything from the Baltimore Police Department to the Vietnam War, the fall of the Berlin Wall, local and national politics, and the arts. He wrote with a distinctive and trenchant voice, informed by a gifted and patient ear. He was a gem, and our hearts go out to his wife, Becky, and his family. Carl Schottler was 83 years old. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. Thanks for listening.